All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let's begin. I'm confident that you all did your homework yesterday. By the blank expressions, I'm just taking that as a yes. Right? So it's just zvachim expressions. So let's go back to this. We're picking up Emir Hashem today from Samich Ches Amud Aleph. If you didn't do your homework yet, she posted it on the WhatsApp yesterday, so it's there. But let's pick up Mishnah Samich Ches Amud Aleph. I want to thank Yehuda for giving the shir yesterday. And we're going to begin really what I think is a incredible and fascinating sugya. Really incredible and fascinating sugya. Let's take a look at the Mishnah. Mishnah says, middle of Samech Chesamad Aleph. Kol Apsulin Shemalku. So we'll say we're continuing on a theme that we've touched on before, which is what happens if Haloch Lamaisa, someone who is apostle. Now we're going to discuss, Rashi says, we're going to discuss what exactly this theme. We'll say, remember, any time you see in the Mishnah a more general or expansive statement like Kol, Kol usually comes to include something that we would not necessarily have thought of at first glance. So Kol HaPsulin, we'll say anyone who is Pasul, again, Shemalku, who did Malika, Malikasan Psula, the halacha is that what? That the Malika is Pasul, because we'll say, obviously, as we're going to discuss, even though, again, Halacha Lamaisa, Malika is the equivalent of Shechita, and even though Shechita can what? Is Kshera bizarre, is Kshera with a non-Kohen, Malika is a bit different, that Malika has to be done by a Kohen. Now, also remember, we spoke about this 2 days ago. Why does Malika have this? Obviously, it's why Malika has to be done by a Kohen, which is why? It's by the Mizbeach. Right? That's the most basic level. The halacha by Malika, by any kind of olas or chatas or oath, is that it's done by the Mizbeach. Non-Kohanim cannot enter into that area, so by definition, it has to be done by a Kohen. What the Mishnah is introducing me, so the fact that Malika has to be done by a Kohen, that's not the novelty of the Mishnah. What is the novelty of the Mishnah? That called Psulin Shemalku, Malikasim Psula, Ve'eno Metame Bebeis Habliya. But say the novelty of the Mishnah is that Halacha Lamaisa, although the Malika is carbonically puzzle, what the Malika does accomplish is what? It removes the animal from the status of Nevela. Now, by removing the animal from the status of Nevela, we'll say, what does that do? It prevents the bird carcass from conveying tuma. Bless you, from conveying tuma. But also remember, again, we spoke about this 2 days ago. You had this a little yesterday also, which is that halacha lamaisa, if a person goes ahead and, if you have a bird that, let's say, died without proper shechita, just dropped dead, and then what happens? You go ahead and you eat that bird. When that bird comes into your throat, that bird conveys tumah to the body, to the clothes of the individual. That's called metamin bebeis habliya. So we'll say the novelty of the Mishnah is that if someone who is pasul performs a malika, so the halacha is, the malika is carbonically pasul, but the malika works in that what? The animal is, the bird is not a nevela, therefore doesn't convey tumah. Look at Rashi, ve'ena metamin, shemalikasin, it's in the second wide line in the Rashi in the bottom. Shemalikasin metarasan, because we'll say the malika has the ability to be metarit from the vela. Lefishan, if sawa kodesh vani malikasin shim alu lo yardu, hilchach nami lo havi nevela. So we'll say this is actually interesting. We'll discuss this idea that when it comes to the malika, when it comes to certain psuli hamukdashin, although you're not supposed to offer them up on the mizbeach, if you did, you don't have to take them down. You can leave them there on top of the mizbeach. We'll say, we'll get back to that. But for our purposes, lesson number one in the Mishnah is that there are certain circumstances where even though the malika is carbonically pasul, it ultimately works to go ahead and remove the animal from the status of nevela, and therefore the animal will not go ahead and convey tumah. Weiter. The Gemara gives other examples of this. Malak bismol. We'll say, what happens if malika was done? This is by a Kohen, but the malika was done with the left hand. We'll say, the malika is normally supposed to be done by the right hand. Let's say malika was done by the left hand. He did it with the left hand. O balayla. Or he did malika at night. Or, next case, shachat chulin bifnim. Now we'll say, now these cases are very specific. Shachat chulin bifnim, we'll say, is what? I shecht a bird offering inside the base of Mikdash. Now, what's wrong with what's happening over here? What's the problem with what's happening over here? Is shachat. Remember again, Rabbi say shachat means what? With what? A knife. There is no shechita by bird offerings. So therefore, again, Rabbi say the case over here is you could have a proper kohen, proper avoda, only one problem, which is he's using a sakin. So the issue over here is shachat chulin bifnim or kadshim b'chutz. Or Rabbi say you did malika, excuse me, so you did shechita, but you did it pachutz. You did it on a karban, but you did it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Einon metamos b'beis ablias. So we'll say same halacha. The halacha is that although these acts are karbanically invalid, what they will do is what? They will remove the animal from the status of nevela and ultimately, again, prevent the animal from conveying tumah. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shachat chulin bifnim, v'kachim b'chutz, inu matam b'esabliya. Rashi says, we'll say, it's four lines up from the bottom of the page. Afagav de bifnim ein shchita lo'of. We'll say, even though inside the Beis HaMikdash, there is no shchita for oaf, because remember, shchita is besakin, v'chin bo'of kachim ein shchita b'chol makum. And we'll say, similarly again, for any type of sacrificial bird, there is no shchita inside or outside. Ein metamin kedilat bebraisa begimara v'shachad kachshav. I'll say we will see that ultimately, again, even though carbonically it is invalid, but for tuma purposes, it removes the bird from the state of nevela. Let's go right there. Malak besakin. We'll say what happens if ultimately, again, or malak chulin bifnim v'kachshav b'chutz. We'll say what happens if a person did malika besakin, right? Malika with a knife, or for that matter, you did malika on chulin bifnim, which means I took a non-consecrated bird, did malika on that bird inside the Beis HaMikdash, or malika on kachim b'chutz, or I did proper malika, but I will say I was on kachim outside of the Beis HaMikdash. I will say, if we look at Rashi, before you turn the page, Rashi says here, malak b'sakin, u'malika lo havya, tebe asmon shal koin b'inon, u'shchita lo havya, k'damrin b'kal shokt, u'neshu machlid, u'neshu doris. So we'll say, listen to this. So the issue over here is, remember, again, if you do malika with a sakin, that's not a proper, it's not a proper malika, because malika is done, malika is ultimately done by shchita, and by the way, it's also not a proper shchita. We'll say, why is it not a proper shchita? Because remember, again, where is malika done? Remember this, we had this 2 days ago, from the back of the neck. We'll say, when shechting an animal, you can't go from the back, from the neck bone, from the spinal cord, because ultimately that passes the shechita. You have to come from the front of the neck. So if you do malika besakin, you've got two problems. It's not malika, and it's not shechita. It's neither of the two. So that's malak besakin. Or malak chulin bifnim v'kachim b'chutz. Or I did malika, but I did malika on a non-consecrated bird on the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, or of a sacrificial bird outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we'll say amud beis. Or torin shelo higiyaz manon. Or I will say, for that matter, you're doing malika ultimately again on birds, in this case turtle doves, that have not reached their age. In other words, they're not mature enough carbonically yet. We'll discuss what that means in just a moment. Ubnei Yona she'avar zmanon, or ultimately again on doves that I will say are too old, have aged out, or sheyavsha gapa, or you're doing malika on a bird ultimately again whose wing withered. The idea being that there's some type of psul shenismus ena, or it has a blinded eye, v'shenikda ragla, or it's missing a leg, metame bebeis hablia. Bosei, the halacha in all of these cases that we just read just now, or all that what Rabbi Bosei, not only is the malika not good, but what? The malika is totally invalid, meaningless, to the point that the bird in these cases is considered to be an avela. And because it's considered to be an avela, therefore what? Therefore halacha lemaisa, it indeed transmits tumah. So we'll say, so in category one, we're talking about situations where halacha lemaisa, the malika was not good, the malika was carbonically invalid, but worked to remove the animal from the status of nevela. Therefore, the animal did not convey tumah. In category number two, the malika is invalid both carbonically, as well as we'll call it tumah-wise. That halacha lemaisa, the animal is considered to be a nevela, and therefore goes ahead and conveys tumah. We'll say, take a look at Rashi just a moment. Torun shlo igiyaz manon ubnei yonah sh'avaz manon. We'll see, these are really very interesting sugyas. So remember, again, now we're seeing about the turtle doves that are not mature enough, or the doves that aged out. So Rashi says, in a ruling in the karban, v'havilu kimalikas chulin, nisanya b'chol shochtin, torin gidolim v'lo kitanim. We'll say the halachas are bringing turtle doves. They have to be adult, mature turtle doves and not young ones. B'nei yonah kitanim. Doves, dafka, have to be young. V'lo gidolim. D'lo ishtamit kra ukasra. We'll say, here's the interesting part. The Torah HaKadosh itself does not actually tell us what age for turtle doves and doves. What it does tell us is as follows. It darshins min hatorim or min b'nei hayona. We'll say what it says is from amongst the turtle doves or the doves. So we'll say from amongst umin, the Gemara darshins to mean what? To mean halacha, so there are some types of animals that you can bring and other types that you cannot. Ve'imas, I suppose this is just interesting. Again, we're going to see all this in the Gemara, but it's just interesting to see. Ve'imas, so we'll say, so what are the ages? So Torin Kshirin, so from what age are the turtle doves kasher? He says, Mishi Yisavu, Mishi Yazhivu. We'll say, when apparently when their feathers turn golden. Ve'imasai b'nei Yonah p'sul. And I will say, from what age are b'nei Yonah p'sul? Mishi Yazhivu notza mezuhevesh esav v'atzavar. Apparently, again, I will say, by doves, when the feathers around the neck become exceptionally golden yellowed, That means they've aged out. Look at next Rashi, Shinismus Eina, or if an eye of the animal became blind, of the bird became blinded, Dahavile Mukhusra Ever. Because we'll say ultimately, you know, if it's missing an eye, it's like missing a limb. Vehikrivu nolipsa lipechasepisachecha. The pischacha, the chiamrinar. So that's the pasuk that ultimately, again, when bringing a carbon before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be fit to be brought to the entrance of God. The chiamrinar ain't tamos zichrus ba'ofos liyindukin shebainu dekarina. We'll say that even though when it comes to bird offerings, so the halachos of mumin of different blemishes by bird offerings is much more makel, is much more lenient than it is by animal offerings. That means something that doesn't leave the animal deficient. So, for example, if the bird has a cataract. The bird has a cataract, so ultimately, again, that does not go ahead and disqualify the bird. But if the bird is actively missing something, mechusar eiver, then that will go ahead and disqualify the bird. So Rashi said, fine. So we'll say, so in this second category, which remember, again, was comprised of the following cases. If you did malika with a knife, or you did malika of chulin inside the Beis HaMikdash, or sacrificial bird outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or turtle doves or pigeons that were too old or too young, that one of their wings withered, a blinded eye, missing a leg. In all of these cases, Rabbi say, what's talacha? So the malika is not only carbonically invalid, but also does not remove the animal from the status of the veil. In other words, in these cases, the malika is totally halachically meaningless, and it's as if the animal died on its own, is an avela, and therefore if you ingest it, will in fact convey tumah. So we'll say, now the Mishnah comes to the most important part. Zaklal. We'll say, here is our principle. Kosha pisulo bakodesh, eino mitame bebeis ablia. We'll say, halacha l'maaseh, anytime you have a case where ultimately, again, the animal is fine, the malika, quote unquote, is fine, but there is the disqualifying factor, Abosai, is in a detail of carbonic practice or in a detail of carbonic law. Then Abosai, under those circumstances, the halacha is that what? That although the malika will be carbonically invalid, it saves the animal from becoming an avela. On the flip side, lo haya pisula bakodesh, if the animal, Rabbi say, was inherently invalid, then what? Metame beis ablia. So we'll say the easiest illustration of this, Rabbi say, is what? That halacha lemaisa, if the Kohen did the malika with his left hand, for example, right? That's the simple. What's Rabbi say? If a Kohen did the malika with his left hand, so we'll say, what's invalid here? There's a carbonic detail that's invalid. So in a case where there's a carbonic detail that's invalid, the halacha is essentially, again, the malika is obviously not good sacrificially, but will prevent the animal from becoming an avela. The animal is considered to be ritually slaughtered, therefore not an avela, but also carbonically invalid. On the flip side, where the animal itself is inherently flawed, for example, the animal is missing a leg. So we'll say in that case, it is not a carbonic detail that invalidates, and the animal itself is chaser. In that case, Rabbi say the malika is totally meaningless. It's as if the animal died on its own, is a nevela, and therefore will convey tumah. Good. Rabbi say, I just tell you something very interesting that I saw. Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in the Shailos Tshuvos Mishnas Aron. See, he asks a very interesting question. I'm going to quote to you. He says, we see from this Mishnah that malika motzia midei tumas nevela, ve'ein motzia midei iser nevela. So what's interesting about this is as follows, that you could have a situation, ultimately, again, you could have a situation where halacha lemaisa, let's say an invalid malika takes away tumas nevela, but doesn't take away iser nevela. Rabosai, now what do I mean by that? So, for example, Rabosai, the halacha is that. Actually, you know what? Let me do this. Let me just say this very quickly. So, which tells us as follows. In these cases, well, let's say again, I'm a Kohen. I did Malika with my left hand. So, we'll say, what's the status of that bird? What's the status? Carbonically invalid, but what about Tumas Nevela? It's not the time it's Tumah by Sebliya. And we'll say now, okay, so it doesn't convey Tumah. What happens if Halacha Lamaisa, you eat that bird? What happens? You ate it. You're not okay. You're okay legabe tuma, right. But you have committed an aveira of eating a non-kosher item. So Aaron Cutler points out something very fascinating, which is that something could be freed from tumas nevela, but yet still what? Still have an iser nevela, which I will say is fascinatingly riveting. So again, it could have tumas nevela, and so meaning it has a chalos shem nevela, and has a chalos shem nevela, I should say, has... It has no chaloshen nevela by tuma, but yet when it comes to achila, if you go ahead and you were to eat that bird, you would get malchus. Assuming you got hasura and everything, you would get malchus for consuming an avela, for consuming ultimately a dead animal that died without proper shechita. So Rav Aaron Cutler asks, how is it that you could distinguish between tumas nevela and isra nevela? And he says something amazing. He says, the legabe isra, I'm just going to quote you, it's a very quick paragraph. The legabe isurin, he says it's not a chiddush. When it comes to isurim, prohibitions, there are plenty of times where we see that something that is asr for one person is not asr for someone else. The truth is, we do this all the time, right? I say something's permitted. I know it's asr for you. It's okay for me. Right? That's good for you. For me, he says on a halachic level, we find that sometimes isurim apply to some people, don't apply to others. For example, he says, "Va'asur lezem mutul lezem." Something that's permitted to you might be asur to me. Kimo, simple case. We'll say, "What? Truma shemutul lekohanim unidarem sha'asur l'rak la'anodes." We'll say simple answers is like this: Truma, Kohen is permitted to eat truma. I'm Yisrael. I'm not allowed to eat truma. A neder. I make a neder not to eat pizza. So I say, so then what's the halacha? Pizza's asur for me. Mutter for you. So when it comes to Isurim, there are plenty of examples where what? They don't have to be uniform. Isurim could change person to person. Watch this. V'imkein, Shapir Shayach Lomar, Shemalika, Hotsa Asan Me Isra Nevela Kohanim V'lo Yisraelim. So actually, to build on this kasha, what he's also saying over here is as follows, which is that I didn't make his kasha strong enough. We'll say, let's say in a classic case of Malika. Classic case of Malika. Actually, I was saying it was going to sound like a crazy case. The Malika goes right. Right? There's nothing bad that happens. The Kohen takes the bird, does the Malika, Shalom Yisrael. What does the Kohen do with the Chata Sa'of? What does he do with the Chata Sa'of? He eats it. Chata Sa'of is eaten by Kohanim. But say, let's say again, I, Yisrael, eat a Chata Sa'of. We'll say, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? I've eaten a nevela. Why have I eaten a nevela? Why? Because I will say, remember again, a bird, if I go home today, and as I said for breakfast, I want fresh bird, and I decide to do malika on my bird, I will say, what's the halacha? The halacha is that's an avela. So remember what he's asking, I read this into just our case of the Mishnah, but he's asking a general question, which is fascinating, which is if a Kohen kills a bird, ultimately again through Malika, it's totally mutter. But yet if someone else were to go ahead and consume it, it would be an Isra Nevela. So he goes on, he says, when it comes to Isurim, that's not a novelty. There are plenty of examples of saying that it's Asra for one person, is mutter for someone else. That halacha is filled with that. He says, Imkein Shaykh Shapir Lomar Shemalika Otsa Asra Isra Nevela Kohan. Therefore, Malika Rabosai removes the animal from being a nevela by Kohanim, but not for Yisraelim. Avalagabi geder tuma lo matzinu klal sheyihi et davar echad tamei la'adam echad v'tar la'adam acher. Rabosai, in the world of tuma, either something is tamei or it's not tamei. There is no such thing as subjective halachos of tuma. Now, there are different halachos, how tumah impacts us. But if something is tameh, it is tameh for everyone. V'imkein, so I'll say, so the simple example of this, remember again, is let's say tumas meis. even though a Kohen might have one reaction to Tumas Meis, and I, the Yisrael, might have a different, meaning there are different ramifications for a Kohen versus me, but what? It's the same Tumas Meis. So Tuma is Tuma. There is no such thing as having a different relationship with Tuma depending on your status, your Judaic status. Tuma is uniform for everyone. Isser is relative. Therefore, again, he says, if you see from here, by the way, that a proper malika removes the animal from tumas nadela, v'haraya, the kohen eats it. Umemela roim shamalika motziasan midi tumas nadela. Umemela ba'akarach motzin also midi tumas nadela. Okay, fine. Rabbi says just a very interesting diuk. Rabbi says something could go ahead and, let's say, something could have a relative effect legabe iser, but it always has a uniform effect legabe tuma. And the reason for that is the laws of iser and heter absolutely change person to person, right? Or I should say cat group to group, but ultimately, again, the laws of Tumah Rabosei are uniform for us all. Good. Let's go to the Gemara. I told you, it's a very interesting sugya. Really interesting sugya. Rabosei, Samech Ches, Monday, 68b, the Gemara, six lines down. Amar Rav. So let's say we're going to have a riveting machlokis, Rav and Rav Yochanan. So Rav says, Smol Valaylo, Imetam Beisabios. Rabosei, Rav comes along and Rav says, that Allah Chalamayse, if you go ahead and you do malika with your left hand, Kohen does malika with his left hand, or laila, laibos means he does it at night, ein metamen abe sablia. So we'll say Rav is of the opinion. Now, this, I just want to point out, this is the Mishnah. This is no different than what we saw in the Mishnah. So Rav says that Allah, echoing this idea, that if you do malika with your left hand, or you do malika at night, I will say, remember again, left hand is also because avodah is supposed to be done by the right hand. Nighttime is Asr. Why? Is Asr why? Because you don't do Avodah at night. So we'll say in both of these cases, again, ultimately, the Kohen is doing something wrong. Even though the Malika is carbonically invalid, nevertheless, the Malika removes the animal from the status of Nevela, and therefore, again, the bird will not convey Tumah. Eimetam, we'll say just again, so you understand, Eimetam Be'Sablia means what? We mentioned this before, but I'll just explain it one more time, and I'm not going to explain it again after that, which is that halacha l'maaseh, the way the bird offering conveys tumah is interesting, not through touch, but instead through ingestion, right? Ingestion, right? Through ingestion. It's only when you swallow it, even before you chew it or eat it, once it's in your throat, by definition, it conveys tumah in that way. So we'll say that. So now, those are the first two cases. Zar v'sakin. We'll say, what happens if a non-Kohen does malika? That's the Zar case. Sakin, we'll say, means with a knife. So meaning, instead of going and doing malika with the fingernail, the Kohen is doing malika with the knife. We'll say, in these cases, metamin bebeis habliya. Ultimately, Rav says, we'll say, in these cases, not only is the malika carbonically invalid, but what else? It's totally invalid, to the point that halacha lemaisa, it does not even go ahead and remove the animal from Tumas Nadela, and therefore the animal will convey Tumah. So ask the Gemara, well, let's analyze this. Maishna Smol. So we'll say, so first of all, it's not immediately clear what the distinction between these two categories are. So on one hand, Rav will say, Smol and Laila, if you do Malika with your left hand, you do it at night. So the Malika, again, is carbonically invalid, certainly, but yet works enough to remove the animal from status of Nevela, yet Zar and Sakin do not work at all. The bird will be a Nevela. So Gemara says, I don't understand. Maishna Smol, why is it that when the Kohen does the Malika with his left hand, that although it's carbonically invalid, it works enough to remove the animal from the status of Nevela? So I'll tell you why. The Islayach Sher B'Yom HaKippur, because they're both saying, the concept of doing Avodah with your left hand, although it is invalid, is not alien to carbonic service. There is a time during the year where the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah with his left hand. When does he do the Avodah with his left hand? Rabbi say, when? Yom Kippur. What happens on Yom Kippur? Rabbi say, look at Rashi. This is amazing. Yom Kippurim. Rashi says, Natal as hamachta. It's almost right across in Rashi. Natal as hamachta biyemino. Rabbi say, this is talking about by the Ketores, by the incense offering that was done inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What would happen? The Kohen would have to use two hands. Why? Natal as hamachta biyemino. He would be holding Rabbi say, the fire pan. Right, which are, as you say, the shovel with the coals on it in his right hand, the eshakaf, and like the spoon or the ladle with the incense in it in his left hand. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? Even though avodah is not done with the left hand, and therefore if you do malika with your left hand, the karbon is karbonically invalid. But left hand is not something that's alien to karbonic service. There is one time during the year, i.e. on Yom Kippur, where the Kohen Gadol has to use his left hand. Therefore, again, if you end up doing malika with your left hand, it's karbonically invalid, but at least we'll have some level of validity in that what? In that halacha lemaisa, it removes the animal from the status of nevela. Belayla, similar again, I'll say, nighttime is also, although if you do the malika at night, it is karbonically invalid, nighttime is not fully removed from avodah either. Why? It's le'ach shera be'ivarim u'pedarim. Ultimately, again, I'll say, because what do you do at night in the Beis HaMikdash? You burn the leftover fats and limbs. So even though, again, no karbonas are offered, and if you offer a karbon at night, it is invalid. But again, halach l'maisa, there is some level of karbonic service that is occurring at night. Therefore, I'll say, Rav is of the opinion, therefore, if the Kohen does the malika bismol with his left hand or at night, although the malika is karbonically invalid, there is some level of validity to these things, and the little bit of validity does enough to what? To remove the bird carcass from being an avelan conveying tumah. Okay, that's Rav. Now we'll say, I asked the Gemara 1 second, if that's the case, zar nami isleach shira b'shchita. We'll say then 1 second, Rav says that what? Small and Laila are carbonically invalid, but remove the animal from the vela. But he said that Zar Visakin, if it's a non-Kohen who does the Malika, or it's done with a knife, not only is it carbonically invalid, but what? It also conveys to us the vela. I don't understand. Even a Zar, we'll say, has some shaykhs to carbonic service. How so? Shchita. Right? We'll say, ultimately, again, a non-Kohen has the ability to do Shechita. So you see that even a non-Kohen who does Avodah has some level of connection to the Avodah. If that's the case, using Rav's metric, then even if a Zar does Malika, even though carbonically it will be invalid, nevertheless what? It should at least remove the animal from the status of Neveila, to which the Gemara answers, Shechita lav Avodahi. Shechita is not an Avodah. Can't bring a raya from Shechita. Shechita is not an avodah. Therefore, the fact that a zar could go ahead and do Shechita on both sides, that doesn't prove anything. Mar says, really? Is that true? Velo? Vam Rabbi Zera, Shechitas para bizar. So we'll say, amazing. Parashas HaShavua. Right? Yet Rabbi Zera says, Shechting of a para aduma, Parashas Hukas, is possible bizar. So we'll say, yet we see again that a non-coin is not permitted to Shecht a para aduma. Now we'll say, now the fact that a non-Kohen is not permitted to shechta parah, what does that tell you? What does that tell you? That shechita is avoda. That shechita is avoda. Now remember, parah duma might be the exception to this rule, but you see that it's an avoda. Umach the Rav Allah, Allah Zer v'chuka. And literally, again, Rav motioned about this. How do we know that a non-Kohen is not permitted to shechta parah duma? Rosa, because again, the Torah by parah duma dafka points out that it has to be done by Elazar HaKohen, and ultimately, again, it says chukah, which means that it is an everlasting statute. Suppose you see from here that what? That Parah Aduma has to be shechted by a Kohen. And interesting, if we'll say, not only that, Rashi actually points out a fascinating idea, which is not everybody agrees with. Rashi says that it has to be done by the Kohen, and Rashi actually says, mitzvasa biskan. The idea that the Torah actually highlights that it's Elazar HaKohen and not Aaron HaKohen who does the paraduma is that dafka the mitzvah is not just with the coin but the skan coin got. Okay, but that's a side point. The point the Gemara is making over Rabbosai is what? He said halacha lemaisa a shechita is an avoda v'haraya paraduma can only be shechted by a coin. To which the Gemara says no. Shiny para. Paraduma is actually different Rabbosai, and this is quite fascinating. Paraduma Rabbosai is not a karban. What is paraduma? Kachay bedek habayesi. Ultimately, I will say paraduma is kachay bedek habayesi. Look at Rashi. La kachay bedek habayesi. La karachach in avodos shelo chashuvos avoda. I will say para is not a carbon. Para is rather, again, temple property. Kachay bedek habayesi. Property of the temple. I will say now, there's a clear raya that para aduma is not a carbon. What's the clear raya, Bosai? It's not done in the Beis HaMikdash. Remember again, where is the para aduma done? It's not Rosa. So you could go, by the way, we know the exact spots. There's a monastery there now, right? But we know there's a big monastery there. But we know exactly the spot where Parah Aduma was done. You could go there today. It's on Har HaZeisim, exactly opposite the Har HaBayis. You'd be able to see right into the entrance of the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi say, if Parah Aduma was a carbon, then halacha lemaisa, you would not be permitted to go ahead and offer it outside of the Beis Hamikdash. That's called Shchutei Chutz, which carries with it a very significant penalty. The fact that it's shechted outside of the Beis Hamikdash tells me using that it's kachiba the kabayasi. And therefore we'll say that's so again, you can't bring a raya from Para Aduma to tell me that Shechita is a form of avoda, because ultimately again it's part of the kabayas. First Gemara says, but 1 second. So let's say I can make even now a stronger argument. Those items which only have financial sanctity, we'll say financial and physical sanctity, if those items require a coin, then all the more so what? Regular kavanah should require a coin for Beis HaMikdash as well. To which the more some Rav Shish Bered Rav Idi, Bered Rav Idi, Midi Dehavo Amaros Negoim. So we'll say, the truth is no. You can say that Para Aduma is like Maros Negoim. What does that mean, we'll say? Delav Avodahi Ubay Kuhuna. So we'll say, Maros Negoim, looking at Tzaras, is a perfect example. It's not Avoda, but what? But what? It requires Kohan. So we'll say, so you see from here, that not everything which requires a coin automatically makes it Navoda. So the fact that the Para Aduma has to go ahead and be shechted by a coin, we'll say, that doesn't automatically make it Navoda. I have Nelef Mibama, so why don't you learn that from Mibama? We'll say, now look at Rashi for just a moment. Nelef Mibama, Rashi says, Shazar Kashaba Limlok Ofos Lechatriva De'en Kiyun Bibama Ki Desan Prak Basra. So we'll say, listen to this. Let's learn out the halacha over here from a bama. We'll say, what's a bama? A bama is a private altar that was permitted when there was no Beis HaMikdash. Who is permitted to offer up karbanos by a bama, Rabbi? So who is permitted? Anyone, even a Yisrael. So Rabbi, so you have a situation, therefore, historically, where Yisraelim were doing malika. I want to offer up a chata sa'of on my bama. I'm doing malika. Rashi says over here, v'chivin da'ashki chanech sher lechatila ba'ama. Yitra kamidivara. So remember, understand, we'll say what we're trying to focus on over here. We're focusing on the statement of Rav. Rav says that if you do malika with your left hand or at night, the malika is karbonically invalid, but what does the malika do? It makes the animal a non-nevela. It essentially acts as a kosher shechita. So it's valid legabe tuma. Why? What was Rav's logic? Rav's logic was because when you do it with your left hand, so sometimes left hand is used for avoda. Sometimes avoda is done at night, i.e. the burning of the left arm, fats and limbs. So on the other hand, Rav says that ultimately, again, if it's a zar, if a non-coin does malika, or done with a knife, halacha lemaisa not only is karbonically invalid, but what? But what? It actually conveys tumah. Rabbi says, I don't understand why. I could find a case where you could have a zar that does avoda also. So, for example, the Gemara wants to suggest that if a non-coin does shechita, so you see a non-coin also has like a hisyaschus, a connection to avoda, which at least should mean that if the non-coin does malika, although it will be karbonically invalid, it should at least remove the bird from being in a vela. To which the Gemara says, no, shechita is not an avoda. So let's bring another example. What about by bama, Rabosai? By bama, you have a case where a non-coin could go ahead and what? Do the avoda by a bama. So you see that what? You see that a zar has some sheiches to avoda. If that's the case, then when the zar does the malika, although I know it will be karbonically invalid, the malika of a zar should at least be good enough to what? To remove the bird from being tame, from being an avela. To which the Gemara says, mi bama lo yodo. If we don't learn anything from bama. Right? There's nothing to learn from bama. Velo? Is that true? We don't learn anything from Bama? Vatanya, minayin leyotze, she'im ala lo yeret. We'll say, how do I know? This is actually a very interesting case, we'll spend a little bit more time on. How do I know that halacha lemaisa? We'll say that if what? That if something was taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash and then brought back in, it should not be offered up as a karban. But if it was offered up, lo yeret, you don't have to take it out of them, take it down from the Mizrach. We'll say, and we'll discuss what that means in greater depth. How do we know again? Actually, Yotze, if it was taken out of the Beis HaMikdash and then brought in, Shim Allah, that if it was brought back on the Mizbeach, Lo Yere, you shouldn't take it. So we'll say, again, to be clear, if something sacrificial is removed from the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, right, and then brought back in, it should not be offered up. How do I know that if it was offered up, that you don't have to take it down? Shari Yotze, the Gemara says, how do I know that? Shari Yotze Kasher Bimama. Ultimately, again, because we'll say we learn this concept from Bama. Tana, so we'll say we learn this concept from Bama. So you see from here, now we'll expound on this a bit more, but you see from here that by Bama, apparently, if something was supposed to be on the Bama, then taken off from the Bama, removed from the confines of the Bama, although there are no real confines of the Bama, that if you put it back on, you don't have to take it back down. So I learned that halacha to Mizbeach as well. So you see from here that what? We do learn out sacrificial details from Bama, to which the Gemara says, no, that was a special limud of Tana. We learned that was based on the pasuk of Zos Torah Sa'ola Samichle. So we'll say that was based on a specific drasha from the pasuk of Zos Torah Sa'ola. So we'll see what that drasha is. So we'll say this concludes the Shita of Rav. So remember again, in Rav's Shita, what do we have? We have Halacha Lemaisa. If Malika was done with the left hand or at night, what's the status of that Malika? Carbonically invalid. Carbonically close. Sorry. Carbonically invalid. And Halacha Lemaisa again removes the status of Tumah. Okay? It takes it out from the Vela. On the flip side, Zar the Sakin, if it was done either non-coin or by a knife, meaning without the thumbnail, then Halacha Lemaisa, it's invalid across the board. Both obviously carbonically, as well as we'll call it ritually. In other words, for ritual impurity. It's nevela. That's Rav. Rabbi Yochanan, let's say Chavzog Rabbi Yochanan. And what is he say? We'll say we are about 8 lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Zar in Metame Abe Sablia. So we'll say, watch this. Rabbi Yochanan comes out and he says, nope, not true. He disagrees with Rav. He says, even a Zar, even if a non-coin does Malika, obviously it's carbonically invalid, but it removes the nevela status, and therefore the animal, the bird, will not convey tumah. Sakin metame abe sablia. So we'll say Rabbi Yochanan, really what happens over here is as follows. Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rav in 3 out of the 4 cases. He agrees, again, in the cases of Smol and Laila, that Halacha Lemaisa, again, it's carbonically invalid, but removes the tumah. He also agrees in the case of Sakin, that Sakin abase will be totally invalid, both carbonically as well as tumah-wise. What does he disagree? He disagrees in the case of Zar. In the case of a non-coin who does Malika, Rav says if a non-coin does Malika, it's carbonically invalid and it's an Avela, conveys Tumah. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Halacha Lemaisa, if a Zar does the Malika, then what? The Malika is carbonically invalid, but Halacha Lemaisa prevents Tumah from devolving upon, there is no Tumas Navela. So Rabbi Yochanan was Zar in a Matamiya Be Sablia. Sakin, Matamiya Be Sablia. He agrees with Rav in the case of knife, that if you go ahead and you shecht, you go ahead and you slaughter the bird with a knife, you do malika with a knife, that ultimately will be carbonically invalid and will convey tumah. So we'll say, now watch this. So fundamental machlokas, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, but really, they agree. Let's start with what they agree with. They agree with 3 out of the 4 cases. They only disagree in the case of Zar. Rav saying that Zar is totally invalid, both carbonically as well as tumah-wise, and ultimately, again, Rabbi Yochanan telling me that Halacha Lemaisa permitted in all of the cases. Excuse me, Rabbi Yochanan tell me that the case of Zar does in fact work. So the Gemara says, Tanan, let's analyze this. Call up Psulin, or we'll say all of the cases. Call up Psulin, Shemolku. So we'll say in any of the cases, anyone who is, he's now quoting the Mishnah. Remember again, we started this discussion today with a statement in the Mishnah that seems to be a bit open-ended. What's open-ended, I will say? Call up Psulin, Shemolku. Anyone who is Pasul, who did Malika, Malika Sam Psula. Their Malika ultimately is Pasul. So Gemara says, "Bishlam of the Rabbi Yochanan kol lasuyezar." So we'll say that. Remember again, the first statement of the Mishnah Bosei was what? Anyone who is pasul, who did malika, the malika is pasul, but what? The animal does not convey tumah. So the malika is carbonically invalid, but the malika is strong enough to what? Rabbi Yochanan to remove the bird from the status of nevela. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, what is that statement coming to include? That statement is coming to include kol lasuyezar. That statement is coming to include a non-Kohen, to tell me that if a non-Kohen does the Malika, then what? The Malika is carbonically invalid, but the Malika goes ahead and prevents the bird from becoming an Avela. El Rav Kolas Yemai. But according to Rav, ultimately, again, what does Kol, what does the Klal, what does the opening statement, general statement of Mishnah come to include, to which Rav will say, it's Kolas Yemai. So according to Rav, we'll say that general statement will come to include the cases of where the Kohen does Malika with his left hand, or he does it at night. And therefore the Mishnah is coming to teach me that what? That Halacha Lemaisa, these things, although carbonically invalid, will prevent the animal from becoming an Avela. To which the Mishnah says, but one second, small v'layla behedja katani. I don't understand. We'll say the Mishnah explicitly talks about Malika with the left hand, and Malika at night, and the Mishnah already explicitly tells me that if you do Malika in this way, then what? Then Halacha Lemaisa, the Malika will be carbonically invalid, but will prevent the animal from becoming an Avela. To which the Gemara says, you're right. So, Tani Vahadir Mefarish. She will say, sometimes stylistically, the Mishnah will ultimately say something in a general way, and then we'll go on through the Mishnah to go ahead and more explicitly articulate it. So, according to Rav, the principle in the beginning of the Mishnah comes to include the case of Eidu Malika with your left hand, or at night, which are cases which are karbonically invalid, but prevent the bird from becoming an Avela, and then the Mishnah goes on and later on explains those concepts more explicitly. Tashma, so let's analyze this a bit more. Zaklal. So what about the second part of the Mishnah? So the second part of the Mishnah says, Zaklal, kol shahaya pisula bakodesh, eino matayim begadam be'sabliya. So also remember again, what was the second part of the Mishnah? Anything Rabbi say ultimately again, where the psul, ultimately was in a detail of sacrificial law, the malika will be sacrificially invalid, but the malika will prevent the animal from becoming an avela. So Mishnah Rabbi Yochanan, Kol las yezar. So, according to Rabbi Yochanan, this call comes to include what the case of Zav and Adkoin does Malika, which is karbanically invalid, but ultimately what? Takes away Tumas Navela. El Rav la suye mai. But according to Rav, ultimately, again, what does this come to include? Rabbi Saitav of Sanachdes. Ula Tamech. But using this same logic. Shalohayo pisula bakodesh la suye mai. Rabbi Saitav, what does that phrase ultimately again, that if the psul wasn't in a detail of sacrificial law, what does that come to include? Ella, reisha li'isui shchitas kodshim bifnim. Rather, what you have to say is as follows. The reisha, bosai, comes to include the case of what? The shchita of kodshim bifnim. So, bosai, remember, shchitas kodshim bifnim means you do the shchita of the bird with a knife and not with malika. Seifa, li'isui malika schulin b'chutz. The seifa, bosai, comes to include the case of what? Comes to include the case, ultimately, again, of the Malika of Chulin outside the Beis HaMikdash. Tanya Kava said to Rabbi Yochanan. So as we have a brace that seems to support Rabbi Yochanan. Malka Zar, Malka Apostle, Hapigol Vahanoser. So we'll say, again, if a Zar did Malika, if someone who was Apostle did Malika, or Hapigol Vahanoser, or ultimately, you know, we'll say, now going back, a little bit of a throwback to our previous sacrificial days, Pigol and Nosar, Vatame, Ein mitamina be sablia. But in all of these cases, although the particular avoda ultimately again will be pasul, but ultimately again it does not convey tuma. So we'll say for our purposes, the part that we are hyper focused on is the case of zar. So you have a brisa that supports the view of Rabbi Yochanan, namely if a non kohen did the malika, obviously the malika will be carbonically invalid, but halach elamaisa prevents the bird from conveying tuma. So we'll say we end off over here. We're gonna do the halach elamaisa first thing tomorrow morning, but we end off with a fundamental halachis Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. If we begin with what they agree on, they agree that in the case of small and laila, done with the left hand or done at night, malika is carbonically invalid, but halach lamaisa removes the status of nevela. Sakin, if you did it with a knife, everyone agrees that what Rabbi say, carbonically invalid, and still has tumas nevela. The point of contention is the case of zar. What happens if a non-kohen does the malika? According to Rav, Rabbi say, it's carbonically invalid, has the status of nevela, therefore conveys tuma. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Bosa is carbonically invalid, but removes nevela status, therefore will not convey tuma. Halacha lemaaseh, me'aretz Hashem, we'll see tomorrow morning. Send it out on the WhatsApp.
Where do we get the assumption that Malika and Obama were?